Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We have a problem.
You have a problem.
I do?
Well, we all have a problem.
You've got a problem.
Especially...
you've got a problem.
Radio hosts have a problem.
You've got a problem.
Everybody has podcasts nowadays.
Everybody.
I didn't even know Corey Kluber had a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Casa de Klub.
Casa de Klub. I watched the very first one, and he reminds me of A.J. Hawk on Pat McAfee, in that he sits there.
Well, who does he have that talks? He's just sitting there.
He has like a little lackey there.
A lackey.
And he just, they zoom in on his face, and he just.
just
really cool.
No.
Niebla was great. No, he was. He was good. And I watched, and maybe he's gotten better. But I did hear a little bit of this Michael King stuff. It's pretty good.
So, I think Ruben Niebla is kind of a bit of the connection between Kluber and King.
Oh, yeah.
So Michael King appeared on the Casa de Klub podcast this week, and it's the first time we have heard from Michael King since he and the Padres were unable to reach terms on the one-year arbitration deal, his final year of arbitration eligibility, and had to exchange the numbers and are, potentially careening toward the first ever arbitration hearing for A.J. Preller. Let's see. What were the numbers again? Michael King has asked for $8.8 million. The Padres have countered with $7.325 million, so about $1.5 million apart. And here's what Michael King said about this process on the Corey Kluber podcast.
I think my case was just different because I was a reliever for my first.
So I was going to ask you
4 years. Yeah. If you look at the guys that I'm similar to this year, they all have like 400 more innings than me. So it's
right. Yeah.
Obviously I feel like I deserve
it's a unique case
close to that, but I also am coming from a different number. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it is.
So in most cases, would a player go off of 3-4 years of substance? Whereas for you, you became a starter in 23, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you have like a year and a half to go off of. So you're trying to find guys that have done that, or you just put yourself up against a starter and his last year and a half of stats?
I don't want to give my secrets
away. There's probably some of both who are.
But both, yeah. Because there are still starters that you can look at that had some injuries in the past, so their innings are actually similar to mine, even though they have 5 straight years of being a starter. And me being a reliever, my innings and bulk is a lot less than everybody else. So it's you can look at those types of guys, but then you also what I'm trying to do is just see guys that I was similar to this year and they got X amount of raise, and I think that I deserve that because I had the same year as them. And it shouldn't matter, like they're going to be coming from a much higher salary, so their total salary is going to be a lot higher, but I feel like I deserve the amount of raise.
All right, so this is interesting to me because I think as a fan you hear about like arbitration. All right, it's based on performance, you know, and you get a raise based on how well you did the previous season. And you look at Michael King and you go, that guy did awesome. I mean, he's got to get, you know, one of the biggest raises, right? And he's going to be a hugely important piece for the Padres. He's like an ace, you know, a Cy Young potentially candidate coming up here. So why wouldn't he win his arbitration hearing? Why shouldn't the Padres just give him what he wants to get? But as Michael King pointed out himself, that's not how an arbitration hearing works. It's not about how good necessarily you think the player is going to be, and it's not necessarily even exactly how good was he last year. It's a complicated formula that involves an entire careers of production.
Yep.
And the tricky part, and A.J. Preller knows this as well, which is why I think largely he agrees with players. He knows the formula. He knows how it works. He goes, okay, this is what this guy's going to get. I look at comparisons of other players with similar numbers in the past. This is what they've gotten in their arbitration. So this is what I'm paying my guy this year. But with King, there just isn't there isn't a lot of data.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of other guys who have gone the path that he has at this point in his career during arbitration to go from a, you know, sort of okay, decent reliever who spot started a couple times for the Yankees to
stud
every fifth day, making
super stud.
You know, super stud. What we all know he deserves a raise and a pretty significant one, but much is it?
Yeah.
And AJ doesn't know, and Michael King doesn't know, and they're kind of guessing, and so they've both landed on these numbers.
Well, and listen, this is not something AJ Preller does. It's just not something he does. It's not something he's ever done. So it's hard for me to be like, oh, same old AJ, same old Padres, when they've never done it. It sucks that this is the first one. It sucks that it's Michael King. Michael King will be pitching for the Padres this year, and we all know that that's happening. But you want certainly a happy Michael King, and if it came down to $1 million, you would think it'd be a no-brainer to just say, boom, let's get it done.
I mean, there's always got to be a point where you say enough is enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 8.8 to me sounds reasonable, but
yeah.
The Padres' offer doesn't sound like what an insult that is.
Yeah,
at 7.3.
Do we have more of that audio, or is that all we have?
I think that's all we have on this one. Yeah.
There was a clip, and he was talking to Kluber, and he goes, "Look, I mean, it's somebody asked him about the process, and he said, yeah, I mean, I'm basically going to have to go in there and prove I'm worth a dollar more than they say, and if not, then I'll be where I'm at.
Yeah,
and
you have to.
It is what it is.
It's worth a dollar more of the midpoint again." Of the two figures. So it's $8.0625 million. And if the arbitrators think he's worth $8.0626, then he gets $8.8. And if the arbitrators think he's worth $8.0624, then he gets $7.325.
People in the chat are like, oh, you could tell he's pissed. He didn't seem pissed
to me. So.
There's another part of the clip if you go watch it. He doesn't seem mad at all. Like, not even a little bit, but you know, again, he knows he's getting a good raise because his salary's coming up in ARB. He's going to get a good raise. If you would hate to haggle and lose some, you're not going to lose him, but you would hate to have, you know, a thorn in the side of a guy over what is not a lot of money, you know, really at all.
Remember, though, arbitration is not free agency. Free
right.
agency is where players really cash in. I mean, yesterday the Guardian signed Paul Sewald to a $7 million one-year deal. Michael King and Paul Sewald, Michael King is much more valuable.
Oh, 1,000%.
So much more. But Paul Sewald is a free agent. And, you know, that is a completely different set of factors when it comes to determining salary than arbitration.
Yeah.
The teams have a lot more, you know, at least power in the arbitration side of things than they do in the free agency side.
Janine says, I was very surprised he did not seem mad when I watched it. I wasn't. I wasn't surprised. Number one, just knowing Michael King a tiny bit. The other thing is knowing that all these guys know this is not a personal thing. Because, again, I don't get the sense that this is going to be one of those where they go in and it's, well, Michael, we asked you to do something and you didn't do it. I think this is strictly our numbers, your number was off, our number was off. What can we do? This is not a Josh Hader situation.
We, the three of us, we don't have a whole lot to work off of when it comes to arbitration cases. We've never been in this room. We have no idea really what it's like, except for what we've heard from maybe, like, Josh Hader's always the first example that comes to mind. Like, God dang, that sounds awful.
You wouldn't do the four-out save, and we're going to, you know, bang you
but
for
there
it.
But there are scenarios, I think, right, where the player is not necessarily going to be upset or offended. They know this is just how it goes sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And they get it. This is a business. And he did not seem, and again, you read all the body language, you listen to his voice, whatever. Go watch the whole clip. He sounds like, no, you know, listen, I got to go in there and prove it. But AJ Preller has no.
Like, do you picture Michael King on
pissed?
April 1st or whatever, you know, March 28th, upset?
I don't.
With the team.
I really don't. I don't. But, you know, I don't know what's going on in his home. But
keep in mind, he made, around three last year?
Yeah.
So
he's getting a $5 million
The difference
raise.
Is he's either getting a $4.3 million raise or a $5.8 million raise.
Which is significant, certainly.
There's a significant difference, but both are, in the real world, that's insanely good news for anybody. You're picking between a really, really good option and a fantastic option.
Yeah,
it's going to be one of those two. You already know it, so
you
feel pretty comfortable where you are.
Yeah, and you want him with good vibes. You know, you want him feeling good about his spot in the organization. And honestly, without Michael King, you know, we'd be in a lot of trouble. So I hope that they can get this thing done amicably. But yeah, I mean, he's done everything this organization has asked of him, and then some. You know, I mean, he was again, and that's what he
but
wanted.
But again, you
to
can't
do.
Lose him.
You can't lose him.
You know, you can't. You know, if you lose the case, you don't lose the player.
Right.
You win the case, you know, nothing really changes. He's on a one-year deal. It's just to be determined what the salary for that deal is. The only damage you can possibly do
is,
you know, the Josh Hader thing with the Brewers that, you know, Paulie brought up, that it just got contentious. And
happened with Devin Williams.
He was
there.
Offended.
That's how they do it.
They were offended by the things that the person arguing the arbitration hearing on the team side had to say about the player.
I mean, again, you have to when you talk about AJ Preller too. Like, you have to look at his 10-year track record of never going to ARB. He doesn't want to do this. He loathes doing this. He hates this, and I'm sure this is embarrassing for him.
What? If I was Michael King, so I'd also be on my pausing. Like, am I totally out of line here?
Yeah. Because, what did I do?
Because AJ has never done this before. And
I know.
Like, did I? What's going on here? And why am I the one that didn't? Am I reading this situation entirely wrong?
So I guess, having heard that about AJ and how he doesn't like this, he's never had to do this, is it okay for fans to go, is it this desperate? Are times this dire?
Yeah, are times this dire? Are
that
we
we're,
that?
The first one is over $1.5 million?
I know.
We're not talking $10 million
right, we're
here.
Not that far apart.
If you are trying to, you know, keep below the luxury tax level, though, every dollar is probably more important than it's ever been for AJ Preller.
Yeah.
Like, the spare change between the couches could be the difference between signing a couple of backups and not being able to sign a couple of backups. So in that sense, yes, that might be part of the reason why this is the first time he may ever go to an arbitration hearing. This segment of Bennett Woods is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
Is this his last year of ARB, by the way?
Yep, and then he's a free agent.
Now
that's what happens after ARB. You go to free agency.
Yeah, maybe not the best look on the last year of ARB, to go to ARB.
Don't know that our next guest ever made it to the ARB level or free agency, but he's here at fantasy camp for the first time.
He might as well be a camper because he has been wide-eyed this entire time.
You're absolutely right. And
every time I've talked to him, he's like, this is awesome, dude.
I heard him last night, like, wearing out Mark Davis about, like, all right, so what was your preparation like? I'm like, he's still so fascinated by the game, and I love
our man Bill Johnson, who's helping run fantasy camp, was telling us yesterday, I think off the air, he was like, oh, yeah, Greg Garcia, these are his idols that he grew up watching.
So
he's
funny.
Literally like a camper.
East and County's own Greg Garcia is going to join us when we come back. First, I want to tell you about Prize Picks. So I often tell you about my wins, transparency. Last night, I was watching the college basketball. I had Miles Byrd more than 2.5 three-pointers. He didn't even make a single one. So that one went down. But guess what? I took advantage of a $10 free play on Prize Picks, so I actually didn't actually lose anything because they have all kinds of different promotions that you can play with daily fantasy, over 10 million users, billions of dollars awarded. This week, one of the promotions you can take advantage of in the big game between Washington and Philadelphia, you've got Jaden Daniels, one passing yard is all you need to nail one of those squares. Combine it with between 1 and 5 other players, and you can win big. Real money with Prize Picks. It's very easy to play. It's very easy to download the app. Use code KWFN. You're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup with Prize Picks. Again, code KWFN. Get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup at Prize Picks. You can find other options. Jalen Hurts, 31 rushing yards, more or less. Will Saquon Barkley rush for a touchdown? They've got it all set up for this weekend at Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, I will remind you that Don't Do This is brought to you every day by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Now, we are actually going to push back Don't Do This, as we've done most of the week, because this is a great time to talk to some of the camp coaches here at Padres Fantasy Camp. And we got another one sitting down with us right now. I was love it when a guy who grew up in San Diego gets to play for the Padres, comes back and gets to be part of the organization. Greg Garcia is with us here on 97 Through the Fan. I'm Ben Woods. Greg, good to have you back on with us on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on, and I'm having a great week so far.
Yeah, man, there are a lot of finely tuned athletes out here. Lots of finely tuned athletes.
I feel like I might have seen AJ up at the second level. Just he's scouting out there. There's some talent.
Times are lean, and he will canvass the earth to look for some talent. I think this would be a colossal waste of his time. Yeah, I really do. How's it been for you?
Man, this has been great. I mean, just getting to interact with the campers, and, you know, you have guys that have been back to this thing for six years now. You know, we've got first-time guys like, you know, our buddy Jeff West.
And yeah,
tier one.
One of our tier ones, yeah.
And this is the first time he's ever played baseball.
Ever.
And he's performed.
In his life.
Yep, pitched yesterday, did a great job for us, and then for me personally, being in that coach's locker room, you know, you got Wally Joyner walking right here. This is such a joy for me. Somebody was saying in that clubhouse, there's over 220 big league service time.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, man, I'm kind of like, I got five of that, but you're welcome, boys. You know,
crazy.
All those guys, 16, 18, 14 years in the big leagues, and the wealth of knowledge that they have. I'm just soaking it all up and really enjoying my time.
Well, you really are. And we're talking to Greg Garcia here. I heard you last night talking to Mark Davis about, hey, so what was your preparation like?
Yeah.
And you know, how did you attack this hitter, that hitter? And I'm going, why is he asking this? Because it doesn't. But then I'm like, oh, he's like us. He wants 100%. To know from these guys, you know, how they went about their business.
I'm fascinated by that stuff, especially the guys that had success. You know, he was a Cy Young winner, so he did something different, you know, and I wanted to know that. And when I'm talking to the campers now, I'm saying, go up and ask those types of questions.
Yeah.
Because I think it's so fascinating to hear their stories, their perspectives on things, and you'll see a lot of correlation, you know, one way or the other with a lot of these guys. So it's been awesome.
And it helps you understand the game a little bit.
Yeah,
100%. You know, when you're watching the game.
And Greg, talking to Greg Garcia, you're obviously much closer to your career than some of the other coaches are. When you come back here,
yep.
How do you feel? I mean, like,
antsy.
You know, at peace still, or what? I mean,
antsy.
Yeah,
I've like, seen it. He's antsy.
No, they tease me a little bit because I think the team took us out to dinner and Gary was making fun of me because he's like, man, you're younger than every camper on our team. This isn't right, you know. And I was telling Gary, I said, not all of us were good enough to play into our late 30s. Okay, you know, the game told me I was done playing, but no, it's been a joy and I'm having fun out here. Like I said, just being able to interact with the campers and the coaches has been a great time.
What was your favorite moment when you were a player and you got to be here as a player? Like, what were some of the moments that stood out for you?
I think it always goes back to the clubhouse, whether it was in St. Louis or with San Diego, getting to interact with some of the veteran guys. You know, when I came over here, it was really connecting with like an Eric Hosmer or Manny Machado or these guys and Craig Stamm and Kirby Yates. With St. Louis, it was, you know, the Adam Wainwrights, the Skip Schumachers, those guys, and just learning from them because you learn so much in that room. Just by talking baseball, talking life. So showing up with the boys, getting ready, and it was always a good time. Spring training was always a lot of fun.
They always talk about, you know, having guys that show you how to be a big leaguer.
Yeah.
And you remember when you started, when you got into the big leagues for the first time, it's got to be the worst experience of your life. I mean, really, it's the best, but it's also like, this is I'm miserable. Like,
right.
I'm terrified. These guys throw the nastiest stuff ever. Did you ever... How long did it take for you to settle in and go, all right, this is just my job,
And that's a great question, and I got a quick answer for that, is that at every level up into the big leagues, in the minor leagues, and whether it be rookie ball, double A, triple A, high A, whatever it was, there was a stretch in that year where I felt like, okay, I don't belong in this league. I need to go home. I'm not good enough for rookie ball. I'm not good enough for double A. And every time, because I'd rely on my family or teammates, I would push through that. And then there was moments in those seasons where I was like, I'm better than this league. I'm better than this league.
Nice.
And in the big leagues, there's no step up. And I was constantly searching for that. But I do feel like those perennial all-stars, the Manny Machados, they feel like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, I'm better than this league.
If there was a better league, I could go to it.
I never felt that way, but I was constantly searching for that feeling and working my tail off every offseason to try to put myself in the best position to get that feeling. It just never came, and the amount of talent that's in the major leagues is unbelievable.
Absurd.
Yeah,
these guys are
unbelievable.
So I'm sitting here, and I can look into the Padres clubhouse where all the fantasy campers are set up this week and where all the big leaguers will be here in a couple of weeks. Tatis and Manny and Jackson Merrill, he's been displaced somewhere else in the building this week. And as a member of the media, I've gotten to go in, you know, clubhouses, and there's always an etiquette that you got to kind of respect. What was the first thing you had to learn about big league etiquette got there? Like, what was something important that you needed to know?
St. Louis, that's obviously the organization I came up with, and I remember my first big league camp as a non-roster invite. They laid out the rules really quickly for you. If you're young, you get there early. And when I say early, it doesn't mean, you know, 30 minutes before the team meeting. You're there an hour or 2 hours before that meeting. And what they wanted to do was to get these young guys out of the way for the veteran guys. So, you know, if it was going to the batting cage, you didn't even look at cage one if you were with St. Louis Cardinals. You're going down to cage four, and whatever coach is down there is going to flip you. You don't get a choice. There's nothing. And get your damn work in. Even if cage one is empty, you're not going into it. So I like that, and I like earning your stripes and earning that respect, because when you do get to be that veteran status and you do get to go into cage one, it feels good.
Yeah.
You know, it feels good.
You've earned something.
Exactly.
A promotion, if you will.
And I think that's what they did really well with St. Louis, is they never handed you anything. They didn't care how talented you were. And I know that was one of the reasons guys like Craig Stammen and Eric Hosmer came over to instill that.
Yeah.
Because we did have such a great farm system for so long, but you can't just put these guys on this biggest pedestal if they haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
So I think that was super important. But, yeah, that growing up in the Cardinals organization was big for me.
I've heard – we're talking to Greg Garcia. I've heard horror stories, too, from the guys that are, you know, in their first camp, and they're like, well, this is great. I got this cold tub, this hot tub.
Man.
I can get a massage every day. And the veterans, they know. They walk by and they go – this dude's on the table every day.
And you know why? Because you talk about the guys in the coaches clubhouse. Those guys had it 10 times worse than I did.
Oh, way worse, right?
I mean, those veteran guys were so hard. And you hear them now. Like, they check the training room now.
They
want to know.
They keep walking by going, oh, you're in here again, huh?
It was such a big deal. It just you had to earn that right. Earn that right to go into that cold tub or get that massage and everything like that. But I always respected that.
That's
love that.
So
I think we asked you about it a little bit before, but you talked about your time in the Cardinals organization and bringing that ethic here. Obviously, Mike Schilt is a big part of that here, and just sharing some of your experiences with him from the Cardinals organization that he's now brought to San Diego.
I remember when he got the hire, it was like, I think I talked to everybody. I did a couple deals, and I was like, this is the right guy for the job. And what Mike does is he has his players' backs, as everybody knows. I mean, you know that. And that's why guys love him, though. I mean, they love him because the only time Mike's going to get on you is if you're not giving effort or if you're being a bad teammate.
Yeah.
But he'll do it behind closed doors. He's not going to do it to the media
Never.
Or anything like that.
As much as I've tried to get it out of him, he will not do it.
And the thing that he does, though, is he pulls the best out of players. And I look at a guy like Jerickson Profar, had a career year last year. Jackson Merrill, to do what he did. A lot of that, for me, was probably Mike Schilt.
He just walked by you, Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson did. Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. There you go. Well, good year, Jackson. But I think, and you could ask him. I mean, I think Mike does a great job putting in guys to succeed. And it's no surprise that they had a great year last year, and he's the right man for the job.
Well, Greg, it's great to have you at camp. Hopefully this becomes an annual tradition for you as well. But it's good to see you here, having a good time. And thank you for sitting down with us for a few minutes.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Greg Garcia, former Padre, Cardinal, and now fantasy camp coach here in Peoria, Arizona. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We've got some more coaches, I think, bopping around. So not sure who's going to join. join us next, but you do not want to miss it. We're having a lot of fun this week. First, I want to tell you about SDFatLoss.com, my journey, not just my journey, but my colleague's journey, Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Tier 1s who have taken advantage of SDFatLoss.com's plan to lose up to 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. Think about the math on that. You weigh 200 pounds, that's 20 to 40 pounds off in 60 days. For me, I was 40 pounds. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. I have kept the weight off for about a year and a half now, thanks to their great strategies. It's a sustainable strategy. It just involves eating real foods at the right times and the right portions, chicken, steak, stuff I liked anyway. So it really wasn't that tough. Once I got used to it a few days, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I lost the weight, and now I feel so much better. Energy's up. I sleep better. My pain is down. I just, you know, look better in your clothes. Everyone wants to look better in the mirror. This is a way to do it. You just have to call for the free consultation or just go to their website and set it up at sdfatloss.com. If you do so, before January 31st, take advantage of their New Year special. Get $2 off for a new you in the new year. Lower your metabolic age and much, much more by going to sdfatloss.com. Schedule your free consultation now at sdfatloss.com. All right, we're live at Padres Fantasy Camp. It is Ben and Woods. It is Thursday. We've got one more day here tomorrow, then hitting the road back to San Diego. I will be back in time for the final round of the Farmers Insurance Open on Saturday.
You going to go?
Got underway yesterday. Yeah, I am emceeing the awards ceremony, as I usually do.
Oh, look at you.
Be there on the 18th green when a new champion is crowned.
Okay.
And the odds right now on that new champion have to be in favor of Sweden's Ludvig Åberg, who shot a 9-under 63 on the North course to take a two-shot lead. Now, the North course was, as usual, playing much, much easier than the South. South was, I think, like 30 to 40 over par. The North was like 130 under par. So,
I mean, it's just the disparity is insane.
Yeah, the tournament doesn't really totally start until everybody's played both courses the first 2 days, and then they cut it down, and you can actually compare the scores. In fact, in some ways, maybe the real leader is a guy named Danny Walker, who shot a 7-under 65 on the South. Just his fourth ever PGA Tour event. Had already missed two cuts this year, and this is got a good start on making the cut this one, though, with a chance to play the easier North course today in the second round. If he goes low, yeah, there's a good chance he could build a nice lead going into the final two rounds on Friday and Saturday at Torrey Pines.
I would love to have made it out this year, man. There's so much going on. I think I threw a little bit of a monkey wrench into the whole system. So I got to play. My team here is terrible. We've won one game. A little disheartening.
You had trouble last year, too.
Yeah. I've never been on a good team. Is it my fault? Probably. I'll just blame myself. I'll wear it.
You know. I've won two championships.
Yeah, Paulie's won two championships. But, so I have to play the, it's the consolation game. It's the dip-ass game that we play on Friday at 8 a.m.
The seventh place game.
Yeah, it's basically.
Out of 18. The winner gets seventh, the loser gets last.
Yeah, you don't want to finish last. Yeah. So you want to win this game, I guess. But, so I got to play in that game. It starts at 8 a.m. It's going to be 26 degrees. So we'll go out and play that. I'll come back. I'll finish the show with you.
But you don't miss it because it's out on the big field.
Yeah,
right?
It's in the stadium.
Yeah, of course. Peoria Sports Complex.
So, of course, you want to play it. But so then I'm done. Problem is, I drove Paulie, and Paulie's going to be playing in a later game, and I want to get home. Bo's got a flag football game I want to go to. Here's my man Benny, so I'm going to ride home with you. Now, Paulie, you have to drive my car home. Are you okay with that?
Totally fine.
You get a nice 5.5 hour drive by yourself.
Are you okay listening to what I like to listen to the entire way back from Arizona?
I've done the Arizona drive with you once.
I wasn't in charge, I don't think.
The only excruciating thing about driving with you is that you go 54 miles an hour the whole time. It takes a 5.5 hour drive to about a 7.5 hour
drive. I'll set it cruise control at 65. We'll get home. We'll be fine. We'll make it.
I lay there. I sit next to him, and I'm listening to Steely Dan or something, and I'm just going, why is he going so slow? Why is he going so slow? Because Paulie knows. I mean, we barrel out here. If it's those long, flat stretches.
I do not want to end up in an Arizona labor camp. I'm sorry.
You won't. For what? What would you? Like it's not you, like you're like drinking you a bottle of vodka on the drive. You know, I think what I'm going to try to do
if you don't mind, I'm just going to put my hood up and try to sleep. And then you listen what you to golf radio, whatever you want, and I'll just sleep.
We did this a couple years ago, maybe spring training. We drove separately.
Yeah.
And, like, the two cars.
I rode with him.
Relatively quickly, like, a close proximity in time, we got to Yuma. And then we stopped for lunch.
Yep.
And we got in our separate cars.
Correct.
You two left before me. I had to pull off and get gas.
Yes. Take a dump,
like, the
whatever.
The gas pump, like, wasn't working. I actually had to go up two more exits
yep.
and then get gas.
Yes.
So I'm 15, 20 minutes behind you guys.
We're all meeting at a golf course, by the way.
I beat you there by over an hour.
Over an hour. He drives.
With a 20-minute head start.
It is like driving this daisy. I'm with him in the car. I'm like, bro, this thing will go it'll go 75. Trust me. And he's just putt, 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 putt. Slow lane. And I'm laying next to him like, oh, man, all right. This is an exercise in patience. So I don't care what you listen to. I just want you to go 80 miles an hour, for the love of God. You listen to anything you want.
You don't need to be in a hurry to get everywhere.
I do. I want
to
get home.
Savor life's moments. Enjoy the view.
I want to savor my children. I want to get home to them in time and go to the flag football game. And yeah, it's been a tough week on Bo.
Well, if there was a chance I could get back and catch some of the third round tomorrow,
yeah.
I may drive a little bit faster.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Hideki Matsuyama had a 4-under on the South. He's the high interment at number 4 in the world. Oberg is second at number 8. There actually isn't a ton of the top players. It's a bit of an issue for the Farmers Insurance Open. I mean, it's such a great event. Beautiful out there yesterday.
They had a bunch of withdrawals.
Yeah, Colin Morikawa withdrew. Yesterday morning, who withdrew yesterday morning? Blonde kid, very thin.
Oh, Victor.
No, not Victor Hovland.
Withdraw from fantasy camp, actually.
Withdraw from fantasy camp?
Oh, my God.
How did we not tell this story?
How did we not tell this?
It's pretty incredible.
We had a quitter.
First time ever.
We had a guy bail.
Oh, Will Zalatoris.
Will Zalatoris.
Yeah.
Do you want to finish yours?
There's an empty locker in there right now.
Do you want to finish yours?
No, go ahead. I'm good now.
Okay. This is the weirdest thing. So remember when I told you guys about the Boston guy who was lauding the camp and the coaches for how great it was? This is so different. The Red Sox camps are terrible. They sign a ball, then they disappear, and they're always on the phones. They're looking for broads, the whole thing. I did the whole bit a couple days ago. Guys on my team show up to the game yesterday, and I look and I go, Where is so-and-so? And they go, oh, he quit. And I go, whoa, what do you mean he quit? Did he get hurt? And they go, no, he didn't get hurt.
Seemed to be having a good time.
I thought he was having a great time. He quit and packed his stuff and caught a flight and went home. And I go, what happened? Apparently, the day before, he was mad that he wasn't getting enough PT in the field, you know, getting work on defense. Well, the coaches don't really assign, like, hey, get out there and play some first. Paulie, go play some short. Woodsy, go play left field. No, it's amongst the campers. And whoever wants some innings in the field, it's pretty standard. You say, hey, let me grab one at one. Let me grab one at two. Let me grab one at short. And no one put him in the game. And he got his feelings hurt, and he left. He left. So now we're without a pretty good player, which is insane.
So he just walked away. Now he's getting no time in the field.
Well, it's like, now you get no time
right.
in the field. I mean, holy cow.
Interesting.
It was super
All right, we're going to check traffic, and then we got another of the great camp coaches joining us. Terry Kennedy is going to be with us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. I'm so glad to see that whatever tension and friction went on last year, when Woodsy started camp on Terry Kennedy's team and got traded. Mm-hmm. First ever fantasy camp trade last year in
First
the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Seems to be passed, because sitting down with us right now, former Padres catcher Terry Kennedy back with us here.
Water under the bridge.
97.3 The Fan.
Water under the bridge.
Yeah, that was all a joke. I got no problem with Woodsy.
I mean, I can't hit.
You should.
I wasn't hitting, so I deserve
it. I think you have test anxiety.
I do.
Because you're awesome, and then you just put too much on yourself when the game starts, and sometimes you just don't. You have to not give a you-know-what.
That's it, man. Abuni told me the same thing yesterday, and I'm like, well, I don't know how to change that.
I was actually more worried about our relationship. Now, were you at the panel last night that I was moderating, or were you not in the room last night?
Mm-mm.
This is okay. So now I have to admit
have to
what
confess.
I was. So we had the three Cy Young Award winners, Randy, Mark Davis, and Jake Peavy, and we sat down like 45 minutes, and I did a Q&A. And one thing Woods wanted to know was, like, which players did you, like, failed, yeah, were hard to get out, and which were the guys that you absolutely owned in your careers?
I contributed heavily to Mark Davis's Cy Young.
I did some research, and I had my own formula based on plate appearances and OPS. And
I think I was one for 14.
It turned out that pretty much the worst major leaguer ever against one for 21 is what I got in my research. Like, the worst ever against Mark Davis was sitting right here, Terry Kennedy.
And the only hit was a bases loaded double with three ribbies, and I thought I owned him. And then I looked back and I said, "Oh, I struck out 14 times in 21 trips."
Well,
I couldn't see the ball.
He had that curveball.
I could not pick up spin. And then I would just start guessing. I said, "Okay, I'm gonna look for breaking balls, or I'm just gonna guess," and I just couldn't see.
I promise I wasn't trying to call you out, but I was looking at the numbers. You know who Randy owned? It was Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, man. Yeah.
183 average. He told a story about one time Pete came up left-handed to give it a try and took three strikes and sat back down in the dugout.
I faced Randy one time in New York when he was with the Mets. Bases loaded. He hit me for a ribby.
Did it
the
hurt?
Next time up.
Yeah, did it hurt?
He threw a slider, and I saw it was going to hit me, and I didn't move. And I got another rib because the base was loaded, and he starts screaming, "He's not moving." I was 0 for 5 with two.
Two RBIs.
Yeah.
I always love talking to catchers, so I always want to know. Were you chatty behind the dish when you caught? Were you chatty with guys that came up to the plate?
Oh, no, I would say hi if I knew the guy.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So you weren't one of those. All right, let's have
Jake
a little
Taylor
heater.
Behind
yeah.
the
no,
plate.
No. That was I didn't like it, so I didn't do it.
Right. It would be the worst. And I heard Gary Carter used to chit chat a lot and do stuff like that. Is that accurate that you remember?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And you know what? On the outside, when we saw Carter, you know, we go, "Oh, cameraman, you know, always smiling, cameraman, blah blah blah." You know, but then I played with him in San Francisco. Gary Carter was a great human being.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken when he died.
Yeah.
And he was second to bench in that era to me.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
And
what a great player.
It just shows you that, you know, when they're on the other side, you make judgments and they're wrong.
Isn't that the worst when you play against the guy for years and you're like, "There's just something about him I don't like him. And then you get him on your team and you're like, "Oh, he's fantastic." And that's, you know, Jerickson Profar is a great example. I think Jerickson Profar, if you play with Jerickson Profar, you're like, "He's the best teammate of all time." You play against him, you're like, "I hate that guy. I'm going to drill him every time."
He's grown up a lot.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
I've watched him and I scouted him and he's grown a lot, which is great. You know, someone that can make the adjustments and mature. But, you know, the case you're talking about, anybody on the Dodgers, you hated them. But then when you played with them, you go, "Hey, they're not bad.
They're not too bad."
Talking to Terry Kennedy here. And, TK, speaking of, you know, legends who we've lost, Ricky Anderson passed away recently. And you actually had that opportunity to manage Ricky when he played for the San Diego Surf Dogs at the end of his career. Give me something from
all
that season, because that was bizarre.
I got about 10 calls from people, and there's an article, somebody in the Times, New York Times wrote it, and it was very good. I can't remember the writer's name. But, you know, I knew Ricky from playing against him and seeing him, and I was wondering, you know, how's this going to work? You know, I was
nervous.
Trepidatious. And so I sat down with him, and I said, "Okay, how much you want to play?" You know, he goes, "I don't want to play on Sunday." I said, "Are you going to show up?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I'll be there." But he goes, "I'm not." I said, "That's good. As long as you show up," I said, the players will understand. I said, "You know, these guys, they don't know anything about big leaguers." I said, "It's important." And so, well, what happened is Ricky was a different guy. And, you know, many times I wouldn't go because I didn't go out with the players. But, you know, he'd say, "Hey, after the game, you guys are with me." And he took care of all their bills.
Amazing. Hmm.
You know, they go out, have a few drinks, or go eat, and he picked it up. They loved him. One day I asked him to I said, Ricky, you know, can you give me 20, 30 minutes and go through the base running, starting at first base and going around? He goes, oh, yeah, sure. So the whole team went out there, and I didn't know what to expect, but apparently he thought about this a lot because he was very linear, like he'd been on the coaching side for 20 years.
Right.
It was perfect.
Oh.
And the opposing team was in a dugout, and they're all over there leaning forward like this. I said, come on out.
Come on and listen. There we go.
And, man, I tell you.
That's so rad.
I said these guys just don't know what they're hearing right now. They don't understand how important this is. The greatest base runner in history, telling them how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and we got along. But the best story of all is, you know, one of the teams was here in Surprise. And ESPN was there that day. Well, he was. Kept coming to the dugout to me and saying, you know, are you going to put him in? I said, I don't know. I said, depends what happens in the game. So I said, Ricky, you pinch hit. You want to pinch hit right here? He says, yeah. He hit a home run while ESPN was filming.
Yeah, he had a knack for the dramatic.
It was the final, you know, cosmic thing that he did. And it was perfect, you know, perfect.
So Terry probably doesn't remember this, but he managed Ricky Henderson. He also, for a couple of hours, managed yours truly. And you always wonder why I don't do fantasy camp. So, the Surf Dogs, that league, they were always looking for a little media promotion, you know, trying to get in front of the cameras. And they held a media tryout day. And I was still a fairly young television reporter, so Channel 10 sent me out to do the media tryout. He put us all to our paces, though. I remember, like, you made me throw from right field to third base. My arm almost fell off.
I would do anything for that.
It's the last day I ever played baseball in my life. I realized this is not for me anymore. So when I come here, I just sit here and
play
some golf and do some radio.
They set you guys up because I was going to make you pay all those guys pay for what happened.
Apparently he has promised Tom Seidler, if the Padres ever win a championship, he'll actually come out and play the camp. I don't see him getting past the first day.
I mean,
he's athletic.
I don't think
He can swing a golf club like nobody's business. He'll whip your ass on the golf course, but him running down to first base is a scene. I mean, it's a scene.
Well, you know what I've noticed here, and I finally put it together this year. Okay, because of everyone's age, you know, maybe they're a 53-year-old, 54-year-old. Well, that time between 53 and 54 to campers is like between 21 and also now you're 35. And, you know, you just can't help it. It's not their fault.
It's true. 48 to 49 has been a huge jump for me.
They get ready for it. They tell me how much they prepare
for this.
And they have to. But you're just not – it's like I went to spring training in shape.
Yeah.
I was ready to play. But you're not ready for it. Not ready for, you know, catching 6-7 guys a day. And then they say, okay, you guys can go hit now. After catching seven guys, you got no legs left and your feet hurt from standing up. And that's the best comparison to this. And, you know, just the standing around will kill you.
It will. And standing around in cleats all day hurts. Yep. Man, my feet are killing me. It's the best. TK, you're the best, man. Thank you so much. Great Ricky Henderson stuff today, and good luck to you guys. We'll be playing in the early game. My team, we're done. We're 8 a.m., which is
it's going to be 37 tomorrow.
I can't wait.
Mark Loretta said, this is moving day, though. Like half the teams are 3-3.
Yeah, it's never happened before.
The spot in the championship is up for grabs for just about everybody.
One last
today.
Ricky thing. They asked me, you know, are you going to try to get into Ricky's head? I said, no, I'm afraid of that. I might never get out.
100%.
Thanks, Terry Kennedy.
Great Terry Kennedy.
Padres catcher from the 1984 National League Championship squad. So great to chat with him. And, yeah, no more bad blood between. There never really was between Woodsy and TK.
No, I really think he didn't like me. I didn't perform for him, you know, which I'm not performing for Flan or Arky. So maybe it's a me problem.
All right, we have two more hours still to go. We'll come back, and I think Brett Boone is still going to join us at some point this morning. He was ready to completely dissect Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he's all unbelievable.
Soup to nuts, mentally, physically, everything.
Not touching my
head. And we will We will talk to Brett Boone coming up in the second half of the program today. We can also talk a little more Padres baseball, as we did earlier with the trade rumors involving the Minnesota Twins and Christian Vasquez, the catcher, see if anything comes to that in our second half of Ben and Woods coming up.
I look forward to it, Benny. If anything breaks, certainly. But at this point, you know, it was an article written in The Athletic, so alleged, you know, there's definitely some smoke going on, but I don't know how much Christian Vasquez does for Padres fans today, depending on what the return is. But we do need a catcher, and if that's what we get, then so be it.
Well, the old, we need a move. Well, not that move.
Yeah, I don't want that move.
Make a move.
I want a good move.
I've been told by people in the know that there are irons in the fire. You know, AJ is not just sitting on his hands doing nothing. He's continuing to work the phones. He's got moves to make that will be made. We just have not seen them yet.
Yep.
All right, so we'll come back. We got two more hours of Ben and Woods continuing live from Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona. Don't go away. You're listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.